The reading this morning is from Matthew 28, 16 to 20, which is the end. And it's the commissioning of the disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Here ends the word of the Lord.
Morning all.
Morning. Morning.
So we come to celebrate Trinity Sunday, and I confess when Henny decided to impose this Sunday on me, I thought, well, I've always believed in the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but never really thought about it. So I'm going to share my thoughts with you. So we have the Holy Trinity, one God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the reading that Rob just did, Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus refers to it, says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So we have one God, three parts. So Moses, he enjoyed a very close relationship with the Lord God. It says in Exodus that the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face. Can you imagine the closeness of that relationship? You know, we often sit there thinking, I don't hear God. I don't hear what he's saying. But Moses spoke to him face to face like a friend. And the Lord God revealed to Moses who he was. This is that verse, and it's, "The Lord is a God who is merciful, a God who is gracious, a God who is slow to anger, and he abounds in steadfast love, and a God who's faithful, and he keeps steadfast love for the thousands." That's us. He forgives sins, the things we do wrong. But he's also a just God. He does punish. So that's God's self-description of who he is, the Godhead. And this is the God that we worship, a very holy God. Moses wasn't allowed to see his face. I believe he was allowed to see his back. But a God of love. And then Jesus is described as the Word. And we have this reading from 1 John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Jesus was there from the very beginning with God. And through him, everything was made. So Jesus was there and was involved in creation, and nothing was made without him. So he was with God the Father at the beginning, right at the beginning, before the world as we knew it was created. And God the Father loved the Son. Imagine hearing these words, "Beloved son or daughter, in whom I am well pleased." These words caused me some problems because I didn't have the best relationship with my dad, and I certainly never heard those words when I was growing up. And it made me think that we are all of us who have been parents are responsible for telling our children that they're beloved. But here we have the Father saying to the Son that unconditionally, this is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased. Aren't those lovely words? But then he sent his beloved Son to save his people. What does that say to us about God the Father's love for you and me? How it must have hurt the Father's heart when Jesus cried out on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? When that bond was broken temporarily. Jesus came to the world and the world rejected him. He came to die to conquer wickedness once and for all. My sister, who lives in America, is always trying to educate me. She sends me books that she thinks I should read. But I'm reading the latest one. It's a series of readings from Spurgeon. I was brought up in a Baptist church, very close to Spurgeon's College, so he was always part of our young lives. But there was a quote this week which said, Jesus hated wickedness so much that he bled to wound wickedness. He died that wickedness may die. He was buried so that wickedness would be buried. And he rose that wickedness would be forever trampled beneath his feet. Jesus overcame wickedness through his sacrifice on that cross. But the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning. In this reading from Genesis 1, right at the beginning of creation, we read about God creating the heavens and the earth, and there was nothing there, formless, empty, darkness. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters. So as well as Jesus being there at the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity that we celebrate today and recognize today. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us as a comforter and as a guide to fill us as a temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 says, your body, and sometimes I look at mine and think maybe not, but anyway, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. So the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So with a little bit of help from our friend ChatGPT, I put together a summary slide of, he put together. It's funny, in our house, ChatGPT is a female when it gets it right and a male when it gets it wrong. But that's just the way it is. But a summary of the Trinity, one God in three persons. The Father, God the Father, the Creator. He's the loving Father who plans and provides. God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour, became human, died for our sins, and rose again. And God the Holy Spirit, the Helper, lives in us, guides us, and empowers us. One God, three people, three persons. And I asked Chat to give us an illustration that might help us understand it, and it came up with the sun. So you have the sun, the star in the sky. You have the sunlight, which we've been enjoying recently, and you have the heat. Three different aspects of the sun, but there's only one sun. And it's just the same with God. There's one God, three persons. So then I asked myself, probably for the first time, what does it all mean to me? What does it matter, this Trinity, this doctrine that we've been brought up with? Why does it matter? One God, three persons. Why is this doctrine so important? And then I realized it's because God is love. God existed before the world was created. And God is described as a God of love. Well, if it was only one God, one bit of God, then who was he loving? There was nothing else to love. But we know that God was a God of love. And that love existed before any of us were created. So I believe that God the Father loved God the Son and loved God the Spirit, and all vice versa within that graph. They loved each other as beloved. And then perhaps, no, I shouldn't say that, perhaps God made a mistake. He created the world. He created the earth. And the earth fell, and we sinned, and we rebelled. And we set ourselves apart from the Creator God. And God saw this and was sad. And then he sent his beloved Son to be a sacrifice for us. So I believe God the Father considered saving mankind to be of greater importance than remaining together in heaven in that perfect relationship. That relationship of perfect love. So what does this mean? It means that God the Father, God, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one Godhead living in perfect love, reached down to me and you and invited us into that relationship. God the Father and his family extend this invitation to us. And it says you're cordially invited to spend eternity with God and his family at home in heaven. If you accept this offer, you will receive an added bonus. You will live the rest of your life on this earth, enjoying the benefits of living as a beloved child of the most powerful being in the universe. The only condition is that you must become a child of God. So we get the opportunity to join with the Trinity and experience God's perfect, unconditional love. That same love that the Father had for his beloved Son. He considered you and I so valued that he sent his only Son for us. And now says, whoever you are, you're my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Thank you.